Again, good morning.
It's
very good to be with you this morning up here. And many of you have asked me, or several of you have, well, I'm not the normal preacher, okay? So if something doesn't go well today, it won't be this bad again next week. So I'm not the normal preacher. And several people have asked where Donnie and Rachel are this morning. I can attest to this. Every now and then, you just need a break. And so they are worshiping at their leisure today. And they have left it for some reason all in my hands. So let's pray together, okay? Now, this morning, we'll be continuing our series in Ephesians. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 once again this morning. And last week, Donnie made up a new word. That new word was sanctified, okay? That is Donnie's word. It's not mine. Y'all laugh at him, okay? Now, but this morning, we're going to be talking about the same thing once again. Sanctified, except we're going to call it part two, okay? We're going to call it sanctified part two. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. I was excited. I've known I would be preaching today for a while, and God's been laying some things on my heart, and I was excited about getting to preach this morning. But then when I looked in Ephesians, these verses right here have went exactly along with what God has been laying on my heart recently. So I thought that was pretty cool. And so Donnie asked me, "Are you going to keep going in Ephesians?" I said, "Actually, yes." I said, "Because the scripture is matching exactly what God has been showing me in recent weeks, and so it's." Couldn't work out better. So we're going to stay in Ephesians chapter 5. You're going to get a kind of a glimpse into what we've been teaching these kids on Wednesday nights the past couple of weeks. It won't be all the same stuff, but it'll be a lot of it. So it's going to be old news to them. But last week, we talked about what it meant to be a saint. And that's where Donnie come up with his word at. And literally, instead of sanctified, coming closer to God, he made up his word. And so that's what we are as saints. Now we're going to go a step farther this week. And I want you have your handouts there that you got in your bulletin. If you would do this for me, please do this. That very first blank under your title and your scripture, it's just going to be a blank. What I want you to do on this next slide here, I've got the definition of a saint. If you would, just write that in so that you'll remember that. A saint is a set apart one, or a holy one. Just remember that for me as we go out through this day, and as I'm preaching here today, remember that definition for me. Now, the reason I'm talking about this like I am, I want you to understand what a saint is not. Okay? In our world today, or maybe it's just me, I know I do it. Whenever I hear the word saint, like I think of like this super Christian, like spiritual MVP. Like if you had like the church awards, the saint would be the MVP, okay? That's not what it is. Maybe that's real silly, but that's not what a saint is. It's not a spiritual MVP. If you are a Christian, we need to understand, this is going to go a long way today. If you are a Christian, you are a saint. All right, husbands, wives, don't punch each other. If your spouse is a Christian, they are a saint, all right? So I want you, amen, preach it, all right? So saint, set apart ones or holy ones. So if you're at your scripture, we're going to go ahead and read that. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. It says, "Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes everything clear is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you." Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you once again for your Son who lived, he died, and he rose again, all for us. Lord God, I pray now for this time that we have together. Lord, I pray that as we're going to see in a little while, I pray that you would renew our minds. I pray that you would change the way we think, change the way we live. Lord, because we are saints, and I pray that we live like it. And I pray these things humbly in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so first point, first thing As I read these scriptures, hey, y'all are lucky today. You know, a couple of people give me a hard time, Gary being one of them. But hey, you know, you need to keep this short today. You know, Donnie's away, so you need to keep this short. All right, so now if this is good or bad, I'm not real sure, but I just got 2 points, okay? First point is this. First one is this, is simply to avoid sin. That's what I get from these scriptures. And we're going to explain this a little bit, okay? It says, verse 11 says, simply do not participate. Literally, that word there gives the idea of completely separating yourself from what? Okay, and we'll get to that in a minute. It says, but verse 12, if you go down there, it says, it's shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. What this is talking about is like the dark works of the world. Okay, now when it says not to even, or shameful to even mention, this is saying that we shouldn't dabble in, like, it's given the idea of, like, witchcraft and sorcery, okay? Any kind of, anything like that, it says don't dabble in, don't, you know, not even to mention this. Now, this is not saying, as a Christian, you're supposed to say, hey, I'm holier than you, and I'm not going to have anything to do with you. That's not what it's saying, but what it is saying, that we should not give it any place in our lives, okay? Now, what is it talking about? It's talking about the fruitless works of darkness. Fruitless there, pretty simple word. It means unprofitable. All right? Sin is unprofitable in the believer's lives. Okay? And then it says the works of darkness there. That's sin. All right? It's that simple. Now, having gone no farther than this, how many of us can say that we already struggle with point number one? Okay? We all struggle with point number one. So let's just get that out of the way and let's move forward. Okay? Now, but what I want to talk to us about today is there is a reason in what God has shown me. I really think there's a reason why we struggle with point number one. Okay? And a lot of it has to do simply with the way we think. Okay? Now look, I am not a person who says, you know, if you think you're going to be a millionaire, it's going to happen tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is the way you think and the way you meditate on things, it's going to dictate a lot of the way you live. Okay? And so the way we think as a Christian is paramount. It's huge. It's important. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is where a lot of this has come from. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, how does this verse, easiest question you'll be asked all day, how does this verse say to be transformed? By trying harder? No. By doing more Christian stuff? No. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing there, it's a pretty neat word. Okay? It literally means like to renovate a house. How many construction guys we got here? Okay, I've done it. I know there's one over here. I know there's one back there who's dabbled in construction. Okay, when you get an old, beat-up, run-down house and you renovate it and you try to sell it, see, the people that are buying it thinking they're buying a $1 million home. Why? Because you've renovated it. It looks nothing like what it used to. See, as a Christian, that's the way our brain is supposed to operate. Okay, see, once we have been saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we have the capability, we have the option to think in ways that we've never thought before. We have the ability to see life the way God sees it as a renewed Christian, okay? But this is not automatic. That's why Paul in Romans is commanding us to do this, because it's not going to happen automatically. But it's something that we have to do. Now, I want to give us an example this morning of our mentality, okay? Now, before I go any farther, when I'm making this point, stay with me, okay? Stay with me. I'm not committing anything unbiblical, anything. You'll see what I'm talking about in just a second. But just stay with me through this point, okay? I want to give you an example of our mentality. Now, how many of you have ever heard this next phrase that's going to be up on the screen for you? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now, if you've been here for a long period of time, you've heard me say it, you've heard Donnie say it, If you've been in church at any, I mean, for any length of time at all, you've heard someone utter this phrase. Now, pretend with me. Now, I can say this along with a lot of you. Some of you can't say this, and that's fine. That's cool. I was in church 9 months before I got here. Okay, so I've grown up in church. I've heard this phrase. And so this next thing I'm about to ask you to do might seem a little uncanny, but I want you to pretend like you've never been to church. Okay? You've never been to church, much less ever heard anybody say this. Okay? Now, I know that's hard to do. It's a struggle for me to do it. But just pretend with me for just a second. You've never been to church. You don't really even know what this means. But when someone says, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace," this right here is what you hear. I'm just a sinner. And then kind of a little afterthought of saved by grace. And see, here's a problem. What I have seen for myself, and I know this to be a fact, I have seen believers who think that right there too. And see, that's a problem. Because see, as a believer, the way we should say it, see, all it should be right the opposite. Because ours should be like, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Woohoo!" Amen. But see, it's backwards. Now, I want to talk to you why, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the way this phrase is worded does not apply to you. Now, I'm going to show you scripturally, okay? So don't throw anything just yet. This is 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6, says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him." 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, and this is about as plain as you get. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, talking about Christ, to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Now, I need to explain something about these verses. In these verses, you see the word, you know, it's talking about in him who know him, there is no sin. So you're thinking, oh, I'm in trouble because I committed sin on the way to church. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. These words here, it talks about sin and darkness. These words talk about someone whose life is characterized by them. Okay, it's talking about a person who lives according to the sin of this world, lives according to the darkness of this world, and by biblical definition, a Christian cannot be a sinner. A Christian cannot be someone who lives according to the darkness of the world. Cannot be the same person. Now, stay with me. Here's a crucial truth. So are you saying, "Jonathan, are you telling me as a Christian I'm perfect?" No, sir, no, ma'am. Here's what I am saying, though. There's a big difference in the statement I'm about to make. As a Christian, you still commit sin, but you are not a sinner. You still commit sin, but you're not a sinner. Okay, stay with me. Go to that next slide for me, Paul. I want you to see something. If you think of yourself as a sinner, you're going to find it completely ordinary to sin. You're going to find it completely ordinary to sin. When you think of yourself as a sinner, and this is, I'm talking about as believers here, when we think of ourselves as sinners, see, it's like we have this built-in excuse to sin. It's like, you know, well, hey, you know, God knows me. He knows that I'm messed up. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this, and it's going to be okay. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. Because can I tell you what that way of thinking does to you? Because if you think it's ordinary to sin, you're going to sin. Every time temptation, anything comes along, you're just going to indulge. And as a believer, what happens? How many of you have been down this road, okay? You felt guilty, you felt shameful, and you find yourself doing it again. Anybody else ever been there? Because I have. I have been there. But I'm not a sinner. I'm a Christian. Because see, this way of thinking, it leads, like I said, it leads to guilt, it leads to shame, and it's not scriptural at all. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that sin is ordinary in the eyes of God. It costs a very high price to make me and you righteous in His eyes. It's not okay at all. To make a point, I didn't put all these up here because it's a lot of them. If you have read a lot of the New Testament, you'll know what I'm talking about. Because Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. How did he introduce all of his letters? He always said to the saints at Corinth, to the saints at Colossae, to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints. Have y'all read those? How many of you have read 1 Corinthians? Does the stuff he lists out there seem like saints to you? No. Talks about sexual immorality, idolatry, and all this stuff is going on in the church. And Paul's like, hey, whoa, straighten up a little bit. You know, if I was writing the book, I would have started out, you big fat group of wretched sinners, stop. But Paul didn't. He said to the saints, I think God had inspired him to show them something. It's like, look, you're not of the world anymore. You're a saint. What do we say a saint was? A set apart one or a holy one. In other words, Paul's like, hey, you holy ones, live like Christ. They had to know the truth. Yeah, they were messing up, but they were still saints. I think some of us need to understand that too. I think we need to understand that, yeah, we still mess up, but if we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are saints. We're not sinners, and you don't need to think of yourself as a sinner anymore. I want to look at scripturally one more thing. It says, therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, probably my favorite verse in the entire Bible. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, if you're hung up on the fact, well, Jonathan, I'm still a sinner, you know what you're telling, you're right. You know what? You were a sinner at one point. Not only were you a sinner, you were a rebel against God. You were an enemy of God, alienated towards God or from God, hostile towards God, a reviler of God, whom God found in the middle of your mess, saved, redeemed, and purchased you through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom now the Holy Spirit lives in and throughout every day of the rest of your life. You were a sinner, but you're not anymore. Because Jesus is living inside of you. Jesus and sin can't live together. You're a saint. You're asking me, Jonathan, you're making a real big deal about two or three. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I am. Because you're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. And it's our call in these scriptures, in these verses, to live like them. So, now that we've established, I'm a saint. Point number two, live like a saint. Live like a saint. Verse 11, at the end of it, says, don't participate in fruitless works of darkness. It says, but instead, expose them. Expose them. Now, this literally means to reveal things that are hidden, to convince and to reprove. Okay, I found a quote here that I like. It says, I think Paul is talking about something in line with what he had said in verse 1. Verse 1, he says, be imitators of God. What Paul is saying is, don't talk it, walk it. He's saying, since you now have a garment that is light, you don't reprove the world by what you tell them. You reprove the world by how you live. It is my garment that exposes what is going on around me. If I am not wearing my garment, then what I say means nothing anyway. When I am wearing my garment, the garment of love, the garment that reaches out and cares about other people, the garment that speaks of righteousness and the holiness of God, then that garment brings to reprove the people around me. By wearing the garment of light, we reprove those acts of darkness around us. What does Scripture say about our new way of life, our new state of life? Donnie actually read this last week, but I'm going to read it again. It's John 8:12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. 1 Peter 2:9, this is a good one. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Does that sound like sinners anymore? No. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, the problem is, when we think of ourselves still as sinners, we still have a tendency to run around in the darkness. But see, as a saint, we're not made for the darkness. We're made for the light. And we're made to live that way. Now, it's our job to live in such a way, live our lives out in such a way that the light of God shines through us. These scriptures are talking about, okay? Look, I'm not up here saying you have to talk sometimes. You have to talk. People need to know how you believe. All right, you can say a lot, but then they're going to see whether or not you truly believe it by the way you live. But your friends, your neighbors, this whole becoming a saint thing, they need to see it lived out. They don't need just to hear you talk about it. They need to see you live like a saint. That's why your lives, that's why my life is so important. Like, no one can replace your life, because no one else knows the people you do like you. And so that's why your life, that's why you living as a saint, not a sinner, is so important. Okay? Now, live your life in front of people. Be open and honest with people. You know, one thing I've always tried to do is sometimes it's worked, sometimes it has fell flat on my face, but I've always tried to be really open and honest with this group of people here and this group of people. Any teenager, anything we have always tried to live openly in front of them. They see the good, the bad, the ugly. But hopefully by now they know that I don't just talk things. I really do believe them. And see, that's our job, each and every one of us, to live out in front of the people we know. Because honestly, this next slide here, it's overused, yeah, maybe, but it's true. What we're called to do is practice what we preach. It's what we're called to do. It's that simple. Why is all of this important? If you're still in Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verse 13 together. It says, everything exposed by the light is made clear. The light of God makes everything clear. So what does that mean? Your life, the love of God flowing through you, His power and presence in and through your life, is a witness to those around you. The love you show others, the way you live in front of them, has the potential to be used by the Holy Spirit to convict them of the sin in their lives and their need of Him. Have you ever thought of your life? Like Donnie said last week, sometimes your life is the only Bible people get to read. But what he means by that is the fact that your life can be a convicting power to other people. how you love your wife, how you love your husband, how you love your children, how you love your coworkers, how you deal with things when things don't go your way. All of these things, when they're lived out in front of people, and this, the power of Christ is used to deal with these situations, it has the power to affect people. See, that's the importance of thinking like a saint and not still considering yourself a sinner. Now, I'm going to be done here very shortly. So, Gary, hey, I'm doing real good. I'm giving him a hard time. I want you to think, let's go back to the saint thing. Okay? Remember, set apart ones, holy ones. But see, a saint, whenever you're saved, it's amazing. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Isn't it amazing what God does? See, your body is still the same, but everything inside of you is changed. It's dead. The old man is not only changed, it's dead. You've heard it before. Jesus didn't come to make good people good, or excuse me, bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Okay? It's a big thing that goes on inside of you. But when that change happens, from that day on, your life, your heartbeat, your breath, every thought, everything you've got is designated, designed for God's use. Have you ever thought of that? As you go throughout your day, have you ever thought that this day is designated for God? Not just Sunday, I'm not talking about it just because it's Sunday. I'm talking about like every day you live. It's like, okay, this day is set aside for God. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. That the God that, you know, I don't know how creation went, but he spoke everything into existence. He got everything spinning. And now he's wanting every day for the rest of my life, every breath I take, every heartbeat I have, to be designated for him. That's a big deal. Especially when you consider, I've said this a lot, it's true. God doesn't need us. He just wants you. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to live for him. He wants you to let your mind be changed so that you can think like a saint, not a sinner, so that you can walk forward in his grace and mercy, loving those around you. He wants you. And every breath, everything you have is designated for him. Now, Christians, this is a big deal. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I said this, you know, I think I said it Wednesday night to the kids, you know, I dare you to pray something. I dare you. I dare you to pray, unleash the power of Jesus inside of me. Let him loose. Don't hold him back. Don't hide him. Don't give way to the devil. The way we think, when we think like Satan wants us to think, we know the result, right? Defeat, guilt, shame, misery. See, that's not what God has in store for us. Now, don't ever forget, if you're a Christian, you're no longer sin, you're still going to mess up. It's going to happen. It's never okay. It's never ordinary. But it's going to happen. But you're not just a sinner anymore. You're a child of God. You're a son of the King. You're a daughter of the King. And he's saying, look, I want you to live like it. He said, you know what? Stay away from these unprofitable works of darkness. Not only that, expose them. Why? So that the people around you can know there's something different about you. This morning, that's all I've got. So this morning, I want to share something with you. If you're here today as a Christian, and we've all been here, so you're in the middle of what people like to call us, or preachers like to call, a sin cycle. Okay, it's where It's where we kind of do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And each time we really are sorry. You know, I don't know. I've been here before. I've done something three or four times like, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. God, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I don't want to do that. I want to make you happy. Paul wrote about it. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do them. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. If you're here today and you're in the middle of that, guys, I pray this helps you. You're still a saint. If you know God, if you know Jesus Christ, you're still a saint. Satan cannot have a hold on a saint. He can grasp down a sinner, but he can't hold a saint. I pray this morning, if you, you know, we joked around about this a little bit. Not that it's funny, but we, you know, how many of us have ever heard of rededication? So, you know, we rededicate until finally we've rededicated the rededication of our original rededication. Okay, and see, all through that we're saying, God, I promise. God, I have decided. God, this morning, take the I out of it. If you're here today, you're in the middle of that sin cycle. Let Jesus Christ live through you. Let Him take care of whatever it is that's going on in your life. Take the I out of the equation, because as long as it's me, I'm going to mess up again. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory, not Jesus Christ and you. Big difference. Jesus Christ living inside of you, that's the hope. That's your hope of glory. Let Him have you. Let Him have you. Let Him have every, even the ugly stuff, let Him have you. You're a saint this morning. You're a saint. Let Him have it. If you're here today and none of this, what I'm saying, makes any sense whatsoever, you know, Jonathan, I don't know Jesus. Well, today, I've talked a little bit about it. See, you're in the middle of a mess, and He's found you today, and He wants to save you in the middle of that mess. He doesn't, listen, you don't have to be cleaned up to get saved. You have to be righteous to go to heaven, but you don't have to be cleaned up to be saved. See, that's the cool thing. God, our God, is so different than anything else. All the other false gods, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to keep these 5 steps, do these 12 things. God reaches down and says, believe in me. That's what He does. Believe in my Son. I sent Him for you. It doesn't matter what your mess is. He can save you from it. And see, then, that 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old man will be passed away. And from this point on, all things will be made new. You'll be a saint. You'll be a saint. Will it always be easy? Ask a Christian in here. It's not easy living the Christian life. In fact, it's difficult. Only one guy, you know, it's not only difficult, it's impossible. Because only one guy ever did it, and they named it after him, Christianity. But see, God knew it would be impossible for us. That's why He sent His Son to die on a cross and rise again on that third day. So I'm going to invite Allison, if she would come and give us a number and song of invitation.